Alrighty. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the, oh my goodness, the Pony Sync for August 2nd, 2017. Feels like just yesterday. It was like, I don't know, 1994 or something. Anyway, we got some RFCs to start with today. Let's see here. So we have... We have RFC 97, which is in final comment period, and it was updated 14 hours ago by Joe, so I'd say we leave it in final comment period for some more time. Sylvan, I know you're here. If you haven't had a chance to look at it, you should during the next week. And okay. Anybody else who's interested who might have some comments on that. We also have one which is... still not even in final comment yet, but I feel like could go into final comment at this point. That's 87. It's one of Joe's add RFC for serialized signature method. Why don't you take a look and see if there's anything here? I feel like we could ask Joe if he's ready to put it into final comment, although he might want to change stuff based on Fenois's comments from the 15th of June.
So, 97 looks super good. It doesn't actually break backwards compatibility, so I'm not totally convinced we need an RFC even, but it looks great, so that's great. And sorry, 87 for serialized.signature?
Mm-hmm. This is actually something we've been discussing.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. I like Benoit's comments because it fits right in with what we've been talking about.
Yeah, because like we're using serialized between different things right now. And you could bring down our applications by connecting a incorrect binary in, right?
Yeah.
And we don't want that to happen. So
the only thing that I would expand on for this is that it would be nice if distinctly problematic, by the way, but it would be nice if a program using package foo and a completely different program also using package foo could exchange types in package foo.
Sorry, you lost me. We get two different package foos.
No, we have the same package foo.
Oh, okay.
Used by two different programs.
But they're in the package is the same? But the programs are different.
Yes, exactly. But not only that, but it means that any packages that the types in foo used must transitively also be the same, right? In order to ensure correct serialization and deserialization.
Yes. So these would be signatures for types?
These would be signatures for types.
It's starting to sound like Java.
Well, that would be bad. If it turns out it's like Java, then that would be very bad.
Well, I mean, in the sense that there's at least, but it doesn't extend beyond that, but it's like a, you know, it's the there's an idea that goes along with serialization that you can use to determine whether this serialized version of the class is the same one that you serialized.
Right.
That's what I mean.
And again, that's still fakeable, right? So we're not, this isn't a security feature, this is a thanks for helping me out feature.
Yeah. We should put a comment about that.
Okay.
I like this much better than, I think we're probably going to do a sentence in the meantime is we're going to open up a connection between binaries when they first want to talk and send just a encoded non-serialized unique identifier of the program across from one to the other, right?
Yeah.
So that they can decide whether they can, as the first step in a communication protocol, so they can decide whether to continue on with the, now we're going to start sending serialized stuff across.
Yeah.
But this serialized signature, well, that's basically, I think, exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah. All right, I added a comment on 87.
Cool. Anybody else have anything on 87 while we're talking about it? Take that as a nope. Okay. We have another new RFC, which is not in final comment period yet, but I want to bring to people's attention. It's a first-time contributor, Mike B01. I don't know what his real name is. But it's to... if I click through, I can see his name is Michael Barker. And it's RFC to change string join to take an iterable instead of a read seek. That's 98. After a bit of explanation, it seems like a good one to me. So for me personally, I feel like this is ready for final comment. Is if everybody could take a look now and see if there's anything where this they looks, might want to address.
This looks quite reasonable to me.
I think so too. Anybody else?
Looks good to me.
Okay, so you want to announce that on the dev list? Well, I'm adding it to the last week in Pony. Theo?
Yeah, sure.
Last week in Pony. Okay, labels, final comment period, boom. Okay, and that's it for our RFCs for right now. So, shall we go to PRs? I'll take that as a yes.
That's a yes.
Yeah, I don't know. Let's see.
Sorry, I will be more vocal.
Okay, here we go. Let's start with 2112. Is this ready? I think this is ready. Matthias has decided that he doesn't like the standard library docs generate stuff, as well as the doc generation in general, which I have to agree with him. There are certainly areas of improvement. So he started doing stuff to improve it, and here's one of our first ones. He opened an issue for it, which is to ignore test types in the documentation. And this also adds a flag for whether you want to include private types or not. Right.
Oh, super good.
If it's for, you know, as I pointed out, well, if we were using this for internal documentation for ourselves, you know, like if we were using it on like our code base, we'd want to have the private types as well, right? But if you're just doing a public facing API, then you wouldn't, so you could have that distinction. And the test types were only in there because, well, they were previously in there before and I separated them out into being test types. And yeah, I think it makes sense to like just eliminate them.
Yeah.
So, like everything looked good to me. I mean, there were a few things where you didn't know about the C style, which unfortunately we still haven't documented. But I think it's see public types only. Do we have something about okay. Okay, and then he has a another. Oh, sweet! And there was already one that was merged, by the way, which allows you to pick whether you want to do public only or private. So that's pretty good. Does this look good to merge to everyone?
Yeah.
Okay, squash and merge. I think this is a this is a changed. It probably doesn't impact anybody, but okay, I gotta figure out the. Okay. Boom. Now if Matthias is listening to this later like he has before and has tweeted about it, I hope that he puts a equally amusing series of GIFs like he did last time. So if you're listening, please do that, Matthias. I got great joy out of those last time. It was very hilarious. Alrighty. We have Kevin Hoffman's one here. 2109. Let's see. Is this all up here or I see lots of comments. So a couple things to address. Looks like but in general, other than the two small things that Joe looked for, how do we feel about this?
It certainly sounds good. I'm just having a quick look right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, that looks great.
I just noticed he put a brick roll in here. Sort of.
Did you notice that? I sort of wonder if matches ought to be values, but I think we should probably leave it the way it is right now, unless other people think the matches function ought to be values. Just in the sense that values is the thing that iterable things usually have called on them.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I don't know. I don't have a strong opinion right now on this either way.
Yeah, me neither.
So I would say, can you address?
Joe's got a couple of open things just for incredibly minor formatting stuff. Which, yeah, I mean, we should probably just get it. There's just a missing new line and a missing period. It's not a big deal. I feel bad even mentioning it, but Joe did catch it, so.
No. Okay, let's see. Well, this one did not pass CI, so let's skip over that now. 2103. Although, actually, we could talk about it for a moment, Sylvan. See if you have any input. 2103 is one that Benoit opened to switch. To libunwind for backtrace printing on Unix systems instead of libexecinfo. He has a thing where it's failing in Travis, in the Linux builds, but otherwise, I mean, the basic gist of the thing is still the same. So okay. if there were any objections to the idea, you know.
No, there's no objection to the idea. In fact, I almost wanted to, I'm very pleased. I almost wanted to bring this up previously, and then I didn't want to because I didn't want to be a pain in the ass, but I think this is great. Eliminating a libexec info dependency is great given that we get libunlang for free. I'm a little bit confused why we can't use libunwind on OSX, given that's exactly how we throw exceptions on OSX, is libunwind.
Apparently, libunwind isn't implemented completely on OSX.
Ah, it's missing things. Well, that's nice. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So next, hey, it's a Theo one. RFC 35, there's a PR for it, 2048 to add more promise methods. Most of the comments on this were me asking for more documentation because I was reading it and like, I don't fully understand what's going on here.
2084.
Did I say something else?
Yeah.
Well, what did I say?
2048. Doesn't even count. Doesn't even count as wrong. Close to right that it doesn't count as wrong.
But see that thing that I always tell people, I mix up the numbers. Yep, there we go.
I liked this when it was an RFC, and I like it even more now that it's an implementation.
Yeah. So everyone, we good to merge this?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to squash. I have to admit, Theo, I don't like your commit comment. But we're going to go with it. All righty. It's in there. Boom. Okay. Let me put a link to that. RFC implemented. So that can go in Last Week in Pony. Boom. Last Week in Pony. Have you been reading the Last Week in Pony, Sylvan?
Yep.
Yep. Cool. Did you catch up on all those blog posts that folks wrote?
Nope.
Okay. Now we're getting to some which were ones where I sent them to you, but you didn't actually look at them yet, for ones that we wanted to have you review. So let's start with 2072. This is a Benoit joint. Break down the local block pool at allocator cleanup. There were two or three commits that Benoit did while you were away, and we were all like, we don't know that part. We should we should wait for Sylvan.
Okay. Uh-huh. Okay. Yep.
Oh, it's quite a sound.
Yeah, that's totally reasonable. So this is not going to impact normal Pony programs at all. It's for tearing down threads essentially, and how they go and share things back to the global pools. It's nice.
All right, ready for next one?
Yeah.
Also a waiting for Sylvan joint. Refactor receiver generation in Gen Call. This is 2064.
Cool.
Also one from Benoit.
Uh-huh. Very good. Uh-huh. Well, that's just beautiful. Yes, 2064 is a question of beauty and taste, in which it is proved to the world once again that Benoit has taste and I don't.
Alrighty. Bum 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 bum. Okay, here's another Benoit one, right? 2056. It's add compile time check for the actor pad size.
Ah, what a good idea. Static assert in C file. Huh. Yeah. Also, when did we become allowed to use static assert in C files?
it's since C11.
Oh, fantastic. I will absolutely be taking advantage of that in several places. That is brilliant. Yeah, this is great.
Boom. Okay. Let's see. Who was supposed to comment on this? Okay. All right. So next is 2043. This is one from Joe that we set aside until either you, Sylvan, or Paul was around for type systemy type things. Okay. Where you're definitely the stronger ones. Fix overly restrictive field reference rule and recover expressions.
Yes. And indeed, Paul is right. As long as we read-write something sendable, that is correct. To prevent non-sendable. Okay, let me read this again. Indeed, this is should not be special, exactly as Paul says. A, B, C, D. In that recovery expression, it is indeed safe to write 1, and then as long, and in fact, it's safe to read D even. My comment is, Paul is right. I don't think what Joe has implemented is problematic, but we can make that rule even weaker. Weaker meaning good.
Okay, so it looks like Joe had a, how would you implement the rule you're alluding to? So I think if we could leave any pointers there for him now, maybe okay. You're both on the same call next week, but in the meantime you aren't, so anything you can possibly put now would be good. And I'm going to leave it as needs discussion during sync, just so next time we bring it up as well. Let's see. Okay. That looks like those. And all right. See. Let me know when you've done that. We can move on.
It's okay. We can go on. I'm typing a slightly long comment.
Okay. Well, while you're doing that, we'll pause for a moment and say, Gordon, why have you? I saw that you added me for access to that. And when I have a chance sometime this week or this weekend, I will play around with getting the LLVM4 stuff working inside of Travis for install and working.
Cool. Thanks.
Yeah, I unfortunately have a lot of experience with Travis at this point. Like, it's, and I say unfortunately, because I mean, as with all things CI, it basically involves, I'll try this tiny little tweak, I'll push it, I'll try again, I'll push it, etc.
Exactly.
Travis has this absolutely wonderful feature where you can debug builds, but you can only do it with the private one, because otherwise you'd have a debug button on your public thing where anybody could go in and get your secrets, right? Which is not good and we wouldn't want. So unfortunately, we don't have it on the public build stuff, which would be, it would be nice if you could do that. They offered to make that available on the PonyLang Travis account, but it would have meant then all of the stuff where we have like the secret keys, which most of them are either mine or Sylvan's, right? For personal access tokens to GitHub, which were otherwise hidden, would be made available to the entire world. And then you'd be able to do anything as Sylvan or myself, which would be not so good. Not so good. So, I'm going to skip this issue because it's one that Joe brought up, and I think it would be better if Joe was here. All right. Let's see. Boom, boom. Do we have any of the build failure on? Okay, so let's see. What do we have here? How about 2114? That's compiler assertion on declared FFI call passing uninferred arg. TA3TA1, I don't know how you'd actually say that, suggested a possible fix, and then Benoit followed up with, I think there's another problem, the line let n equals zero should cause an error since the literal can't be inferred, and yes, I think that's pretty much where we're at on this one. But yeah, it's definitely odd that it should be throwing an error on the, when you have the let n and the let m, which is rather interesting. Benoit, do you think this could be one where we're just not, no, well, it shouldn't even get to the code generation part, should it? Like, it's weird.
It's not getting to the code generation.
Yeah.
But I don't think it should be getting to the type check of the FFI call.
Yeah, it's like that should be an error. Let n equal zero, that should be an error. I don't know why the use of it for let m equals n is then, that's...
Yeah, I'm not sure either. I think what we need is somebody to dig into the code and okay.
So,
see what's going on.
So we do get the error if there's no FFI call. I just tried that.
Sorry, I'm catching up. I apologize. I was leaving a comment. What issue were you, what are we on?
It's 2141.
Thank you.
Twice in one call.
Wait, the error happens without the FFI call?
No, it does not. I just tried it. No, sorry, the error does happen. Error, right? No, you get the error message. Yes. Could not infer literal, right?
Right.
For the n equals zero. There, I put the full thing in a comment at the bottom. So that's To steal your word, Sylvan. Interesting. In case you didn't know, interesting is trademark Sylvan Collection Incorporated. 1972.
I'll give a plug to Andrew Kent here. Andrew Kent is doing his PhD at Indiana and working with Sam Tobin Hochstadt. And he just did an internship with me at MSR and did an absolutely fantastic job and won a prize and all kinds of cool stuff. But the important thing here is he has spotted a significant number of my verbal tics that I'm so embarrassed of that I'm unwilling to share.
You don't have to share them with me.
You already know them all, I know. I think, by the way, I think on 2114, Ta 3 Ta 1, I think.
Yeah, sure. Let's go for that. Ta 3 Ta 1.
Yeah, I think that the suggested fix there is right.
But we should. Okay. So this, if with that, it should drop the correct error?
I think so.
Okay, Sylvan suggests trying.
It's not me suggest. Ta3Ta1 put the suggested fix right there. And I think that's correct.
But then Benoit said he was concerned that wasn't the right thing.
Ah. Sorry.
And I think there's another problem. The let n equals zero line should cause an error since the literal can't be inferred. And I believe.
Yeah, but I think you do get that error once you put the check in there. The only reason you're not seeing it is because the assertion is flipping out. So I think we're hitting an error that a compiler bug that's preventing the correct reporting of an error because the compiler crashed.
Okay, so wait, I'm trying to.
So Benoit is, of course, not wrong, but I think it will. I think it may also be fixed if with Ta3Ta1's suggestion. I think, just a thought. I could be wrong.
No, I think that makes sense because I don't remember the code exactly, but when an error is encountered.
Yeah.
The compiler should recover at the next sequence.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, so you're right.
Okay. Yeah, so Joe actually Ta3Ta1 put the fix in and then Joe linked to the fix and now Sean has a comment about the fix. Okay, cool.
Yes, well, and it's marked ready for work, difficulty easy, and we are past the half hour mark. So this is the point when we take a break to see if anybody has anything that they wanted to discuss and whatnot. TJ800X, have you been in a sync before and I forgot, or is this your first time?
No, I'm a newbie. My name's Tom Johnson, and I live just south of Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh, I could tell.
That's a good thing, by the way.
Yes, it is. Well, welcome. Did you have anything that you wanted to bring up or discuss? Or you're just kind of lurking and seeing what the story is.
Just lurking for now. You know, want to become more familiar with Pony, so I thought. I thought it would be a good way to understand where things are.
That's super good.
Yep.
Well, I guess the only thing I want to say is that I think Matthias Wall's pony check is completely awesome, and I hope that gets even better.
Me too. I left him some comments for like stuff where I was like, I think that a lot of people would have a hard time getting into using it just from a lack of demonstration, lack of documentation and examples, right?
Sure.
But but that's something that happens, you know, early on in general with things anyway. So, but yeah, it's looking good. I'm hoping at some point to be able to take advantage of it. Although, can't at the moment because I have other things on my plate. Yeah. Anybody else have anything?
I did. Hello, everyone.
Hey, Joe.
Issue 2122. Did you guys already?
No, we put that aside. And if nobody had anything, I was going to say let's discuss 2122. Now that Joe's here, so let's do it.
So, go ahead.
Oh, I see. Because it's saying each of the elements must be of this type, and then we're going to assign them. Yep. Yeah, so essentially we would take the unalias of the as type and expect them all to be, or rather, a nicer way to put that is expect the aliases of all the elements to be be subtypes of the as type.
Right.
Yeah.
You're keeping the same requirements for the elements. It's just that I think it's a little bit less confusing to use the same type for as that you would use for let.
Yeah, I think that's completely reasonable.
I would certainly be confused by that. I look at it and I understand why, but there is no way somebody new to Pony is going to look at that and have any clue. Yeah. I can just imagine the consternation in like the IRC channel or the mailing list.
Yeah,
what?
As type inference, you know, weirder with this the way it is. So changing it will also make that more.
Oh, great. Good. Yes, I vote for this for sure.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure that nobody had any big opposition to it. I'll go ahead and I'm going to mark it as a principal least surprise bug.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, and look at that. Sylvan and I both popped on with the big thumbs ups.
Great.
Woo! Anybody else got anything? Otherwise, we can dig more into issues. Let's see. It's an RFC, which will be closed soon. A whole bunch of blah, 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 blah. Oh, here's one that says needs discussion during sync. Okay, and this was, let me see what happens. Okay, nope, that wasn't related. Okay, Sylvan, let's take a look at, unless you already thumbs up this. No, 2068 is still marked as need discussion during sync. I think that was probably because we were looking to get your input as well. Yes, it was.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Let's do that. Yeah, let's do that.
All right, so I'm changing that to ready for work. Boom.
Yeah, I'm afraid that code dates so far back. That was not yet a thing that was settled.
It spread everywhere.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
There was a time when those hash map functions sometimes used a pool allocator and sometimes used malloc. That time was long ago.
Well, so my next thing to bring up is being able to use malloc instead of the pool allocator. I'm half joking. I'm not bringing that up right now. But
in general, it's quite problematic.
I know.
And incredibly slow. But
I've
tested the compiler, which is not problematic to replace the pool allocator with malloc, unlike the runtime where it is, because of page map alignment and stuff like that. But the compiler was, at least in my incredibly half-assed tests, depending on what was being compiled, between 3 and 10 times slower using malloc compared to the pool allocator.
Okay, here's one to discuss. Nobody has said no to this, so I assume we're going to go forward. But bringing up now for this, Benoit a couple weeks ago suggested removing LLVM 3.7 support. Nobody has objected, so this is the last chance to object before we say yes, we're going to do this.
I'm going to do the opposite of that and put a thumbs up on it.
All right, okay.
One more thing I wanted to bring up. I missed the first part of the meeting. RFC pull request 97. Do we want to vote on that today since it's been in final comment period for 7 days?
Was that your one that you did an update to like a couple days ago?
Yeah, it has the random methods.
Oh yeah, let's do it.
Where we had left it previously was that you weren't here and you had recently updated it, so we were going to leave it for now.
But
you're here. And we were going to have it go one more week.
Let's vote. This is a simple one. I vote yes.
I vote yes too.
I vote yes.
I'm waiting to hear what Joe says before I vote.
I vote the opposite of what Sean votes.
Ooh!
I vote yes.
Joe, you lose. Your RFC is accepted.
Yeah. All righty.
And I abstain if I even have a vote.
Actually, you do because you're here. You can vote if you want to.
I will abstain. Just because I don't know enough to have an opinion.
Fair enough.
That's a very valid reason to abstain. Can you do that up, CEO?
Yeah, sure. Once I get some internet access, I will.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Cool. I'm adding it to the last week in Pony, and we'll update that on Saturday when the time comes. All right. Let's see, got a couple minutes here. Here's a fun one. Let's bring this up, see if anybody has any idea. Let's look at 2108. The 32-bit FreeSD build fails, and,
That's new and exciting.
Looks like it's related to Tomics. I thought I found a thing where it looked like this might be related to Clang 4.0, but he tried it with 3.9 and he still has the same question. Okay.
Oh my. Missing atomic operations.
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm not real good with Google, and when I try to Google this, FreeBSD, I end up.
No, actually, I know it. I'm not sure how to fix it, but I do know vaguely what the issue is. So, in the atomic stuff, particularly detail atomic.h.
Yep.
It's expecting atomic atomic compare exchange to be present, and really so am I. I'm confused as to why it is not.
Yeah, it seems like it got moved to another library. Maybe.
Well, it's an intrinsic.
Unless it's.
So it's very, very confusing. Now it's in the if defined clang, and we're looking for in this particular case, Clang major is 3 and Clang minor is greater than 6, which is great, right?
Yeah, because he tried it with 3-9 and had the same problem.
Right.
But he was on 4.
The 3-4 would just explode.
No. He was on Clang 4.
Oh, sorry.
Originally.
Yeah, well, Clang 4 should work just fine. But it's picking up standard atomic.h. And I'm... The thing that it's missing isn't atomic compare exchange as a whole. It's atomic compare exchange 8. So it's looking in pool get specifically for a 64-bit load.
But wait, this is a 32-bit.
Ah, yes, it is. But in pool get, you will notice something must have got inlined.
It's probably a pool pearl and a pool push.
Yeah, you're right. Because what we're looking at is the double word stuff. Is my guess.
Yeah.
And that for some reason, 32-bit FreeBSD is not giving us a double word compare and swap. Or indeed a double word load, but since that's just a load, I don't know what it thinks it's doing at that point.
Load, I see fetch, exchange.
Yeah, and backtrace and backtrace symbols is indeed just the backtrace stuff.
But what I don't understand is why it's not finding it in the pool allocator, and it looks like it is finding it in the MPMCQ, which also uses double word atomics.
Ooh. Is this the full output?
I don't know. And it also could be that it errors out at this point and stops before it gets.
So if you look at his first output, it does say pony at MPMCQ pop in the first post, and the second one doesn't.
Ah, yes.
So that makes more sense. But I have a different what the heck, which is why isn't it picking up libexec info for backtrace and backtrace symbols? I mean, that'll be removed now, so it's not that big a deal. But
wait, what do you mean in his first one? It's got the... Oh, no, there it is. Okay, yeah, okay, I see it. I see what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, interesting. The commit... that introduces it, which is an atomics.h change. Along with the associated stuff. So it might be something about Big Atomic Store, actually, because it's the introduction of Big Atomic, isn't it? No, it's not. Damn it. It's not. I'll shut up.
Huh. This is very confusing. I don't know. Do we have
any? MPMCQ was working before that. The change in MPMCQ. Is to drastically simplify the damn thing. But it is ABA protected pointer. Something about the definition of ABA protected pointer?
I don't think there should be a difference here, since if I recall correctly, what I did was move. I moved the pointer from outside of the macro argument to
inside.
Yes. So not sure why this is causing an error.
Yeah, me neither. Absolutely not sure in any way, shape, or form. I'm just trying to look at the protected pointer definition because
so
it's picking it up.
Is he on x86? Aren't we kind of assuming that?
You're absolutely right.
There's no
totally assuming that.
You, me too. I'm gonna ask him. I assume that, but now looking at the code, I don't know. You running on?
Yeah, i386.
Yep. Oh, it's there.
It's FreeBSD 11.1 i386.
Okay,
so that's right there on the title.
Oh, yep. Okay. Yes. Okay. I knew there was a reason why I did, but yeah. Okay.
But protected pointer is literally declaring an ABA protected T.
Could the big atomic stuff not be there on 32-bit?
Well, but no, but it was working in that other commit. That's the thing.
Wait, so the big atomic stuff was not in.
That's not. Yeah. In fact, a bunch of that stuff in MPMCQ that was, okay. The references to the big atomic stuff was removed. It really comes down to the definition of an ABA protected T referring to a T star. And a counter. I'm just, I have no clue how that could possibly cause this problem. That does not seem right.
Huh.
If defined LP64 or defined Win64, neither of those will be true, and so it'll be an N64T, but it was before. Damn it!
I don't understand. Yeah, okay. I don't understand how this would. I don't think we're going to solve this unless...
No, it'll take more investigation, unfortunately.
Unless somebody has a BSD VM or something. FreeBSD 30, a 32-bit BSD one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm now just staring at this in frustration. So we should move on to other stuff. Sorry.
Yeah.
I'll at least add a note that I don't understand.
Very confused. Very, 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 very confused. I have a feeling if anybody listens to this, there's probably about 2 minutes of us just thinking in our heads, wait, what? All right. Well, then, we are pretty much at the end here, unless anybody has any last-minute things they want to discuss. Well, then, okay. Yes.
I just wanted to quickly mention 2121. Joe.
Which is this?
2121. Can't use if type to specialize the body of a method that returns the type param.
Oh.
So Paul has a comment on that.
Right.
And I think maybe so the core stuff.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
It's really not darn ideal. And what I would love to see is a change in the type checker. I mean, yeah. It's possible if you said as J, that would work as well. I wouldn't want to swear to that, but I think maybe it would. But that would be annoying as well.
Yeah.
And I sort of feel like if we could have a situation where if for each branch we're saying, Jesus, just a pain, isn't it?
Yeah, and maybe this is the kind of thing that once we have the method signature level specialization, it solves it.
Yep.
Right. Like the if type clause on the method signature.
It might do. Yeah. In fact, it probably would, but I feel like this ought to work anyway without the coercion. And it's possible that having that there's a type checker way to do that because essentially, the first expression return that union type. It's exactly what Paul explains. He did a great job of explaining, I think. And that, if you really had an if expression that returned that union type, that would be totally unacceptable. But there's something about it being an if type that seems to say, maybe there's a way to force this. So.
It's kind of like you want to check the entire method body with that assumption and then just delete parts of the code that don't match that if type clause.
Right. Right. Check it first, and then when you end up with the if type expression, okay, you check the body of that expression. Then when you exit that expression, oh, no. You can't assume it's a J. Oh.
Yeah, so what I was saying is that when you see an if type here, you would actually, you would type check once, you would type check once, like the entire method, once for each if type clause, such right. that like, when you see that's this if type clause, like is J in the subtype of F64, you would run through the entire method body, assuming that J is a subtype of F64 and getting rid of any else if clauses that conflict with that.
Unfortunately, for any complex method body, that becomes a combinatorial explosion.
Right, it does, yeah.
Okay, I will have a think about this one because we're out of time, but I think it's a really interesting one.
Another pain point I wanted just to mention with if type that I've run into is the lack of an exhaustive if type.
Indeed. This one, for example.
Anyway, I do have to run as well.
Okay.
But I just wanted to mention that. That's like another exhaustive if type is another thing that I would like to see eventually.
Yeah, I mean a match type perhaps. And using the same logic.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right, so are we at the end?